You want to do some podcasting, Jay?
Oh my God, I thought you would never ask.
King Arthur loved cuckolds. The dude was bigger than a giant.
Solid. That's a thing I need to know.
Yeah.
I am the god of this forest, and I will flex.
Welcome to My Medieval Mayhem, the podcast where we discuss medieval literature, history, and medievalism. I'm Marcel Losada, resident medieval scholar and wearer of armor. With me, as always, is my brother, Jan Michael Losada, rock climber and bearer of many tattoos.
Yes, all of which is true. I have seen Marcel wear a full suit of armor in 90-degree weather twice now for the Renaissance Fair. And I feel like you get so much out of it. Yeah. Also the respect of every single knight there. So,
oh, you know, it is tradition at this point. You know, it's happened twice. So, yes, absolutely.
Is that
super
all
fun.
it takes for a tradition? You do
That's
it
it.
twice.
Done.
You run it twice and you're like, well, we'll do this for
Tradition.
the next 4 or 5,000 years.
Yep, 100%. You know, I mean, it doesn't hurt the process. That's
Yeah, too true. It needs to start somewhere. So,
yeah. All right. So, Jan, what do you know about Robin Hood?
So much. I know that he's been in several films. I know that very handsome.
Who's your favorite Robin Hood? You can go there.
Probably the fox from the animated, the Disney
Nice.
animated Robin Hood. I have fond memories of that particular Robin Hood. I know Robin Hood's typically an extremely attractive guy.
Okay.
He has a buddy who's a holy man.
Okay. Okay.
There's the sheriff of Nottingham.
Okay. Okay.
And I assume that's where it takes place, because if he's the sheriff of there, that's probably where they're at. There's like some sort of shire or forest the hoodlums all kind of hang out in.
Okay. Yeah.
And generally, there's a sentiment of take from the wealthy and give to the poor.
Okay. Got you. Got you. Yeah. Any
How
notable
many?
character? Well, I'm not going to tell you. We're going to
Okay.
find out, because
I know he's got a sidekick that's
okay.
like a religious guy who has a staff or something. Yeah.
Well, I'll say, go ahead. Yeah.
Oh, I know there's a lady like love interesty figure.
All right.
Yeah, that's there's probably someone else. There's probably like a talking cow or something. There's got to be some sort of fun barnyard animal that enters the picture.
I love it. Yeah. I'll say it is a group of stories or a mythos that is similar to King Arthur and the
Okay.
group of knights, where there
So,
are some central characters. There's Arthurian legend. Just like Arthurian legend, there's also a collection of stories from Robin Hood. Right.
and there's
So,
no like one text.
well, I'm going to give you a text
Okay.
today. I'm going to feed it to you. This is going to be a much shorter story than our slog through Percival, which I wouldn't call a slog. I would call
No,
it
for sure.
A
A
happy
jaunt.
jaunt. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had the same word. That's funny.
It was a jaunt through a very dense story where little ever made much sense.
Absolutely. And we'll have the alternate endings later, since of course it also ended when the author died. So
very abruptly, very
yeah,
abruptly.
Kretzi and Detroit will miss you, man. Way to leave us
R.I.P.
hanging, dude. This is what's going to happen with the Song of Ice and Fire too. Yeah.
Yeah,
So,
we're all waiting for that day.
yeah, 100%. So let's see here. Okay, another question for you. What kinds of plot points, devices, characterizations, etc.? You already mentioned some. would you want to see in a Robin Hood story, or do you know about a Robin Hood story? Like, well, you know, what would you expect to happen? How would you expect the characters to come across? What themes are we going on? You already touched on some of these things, but if you want to elaborate, cool.
Taking from the evenly dispersing wealth seems to be Robin Hood's main MO. We got the cops being scumbags. I want a forest base. I know that's okay. That's for some reason very important to me. But like, theme wise, that Robin Hood's a like roguish type guy who is really all about the poor, the working man, he's a people's people. And I imagine all the themes are going to revolve around that.
Yeah. Okay. That's some good, I don't want to say foreshadowing, because I think that's the wrong word, but I think that those are some things that a lot of people would agree with you, particularly like a cinematic type Robin Hood, you know, one that's come across in theatrical or, you know, movie, I guess that's still theatrical releases, yeah. Right? Yeah. So
adaptations.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, one common through line through everything is that we still love stories of Robin Hood, you know, like Hollywood makes one every now and again, and we're just like, yeah, fucking badass, you know, we'll make a show or something like that. There's been, I looked up, there's a character pronunciation that I'll get to later that I had to, I didn't have to, obviously, but I went to some old BBC footage.
Wow.
Of some like 70s super low production but kind of awesome stories of Robin Hood, dude. And so there's been, as I looked back at just within the last like 50 years, like over, you know, 170 or 180 citations of possible Robin Hoods, possibly more if you count things that are kind of based on Robin Hood but not Robin
Hood.
Sure, you know. Like not directly Robin Hood.
Yeah. Or not called Robin Hood, but called like, yeah, that guy with the bow and arrow. Oh, he's got a bow and arrow. That's also very important to me. He's
okay.
An archer.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Very important.
Yeah. Yeah. So that becomes, you know, and what kind of archer is he? Is he, you know, just like.
A hit and runny sword, I guess. Okay. It's right. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is he good archer?
Oh, yeah. The okay. Best. He's like okay, a Hawkeye.
He's Hawkeye. Green. Okay.
Yeah, he's a Green Arrow. He's a Who else is a comic book archer? There are quite a few of them.
There are, and yeah. I think, you know, I mean, Green Arrow is like dangerously close to infringement on Robin Hood.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, I mean,
down to his stupid little green hat. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially in Silver Age or something like that. You know, like they really hammed it up where it's like, okay, fine. Modern iterations of him have him being a billionaire, which is hilarious, but
take from the rich and give to myself. Good. No, it's good.
All right, let's see, anything else you want to say about Robin Hood before I take you on a journey, or are we
I need to rewatch a couple of the Robin Hood films, because my memory of didn't Ridley Scott do one? I swear he did.
Oh shit, that would be awesome, dude. I was thinking Men in Tights is one of my favorite ones.
Oh, of course.
So, but I think because I've had so many that it's just like, this is amazing. You know, I love Monty Python's Holy Grail. So, you know, Ridley Scott's Robin Hood, dude. He made a Robin Hood? No shit. Oh, yeah, my God, he did. I got to watch this. I'm watching this right after the podcast. Yeah. Not even lying. This is the rest of my night.
We'll see how accurate it is.
Holy shit. It's probably going to bother me terribly. Because that's the other thing. I'll tell you, I kind of want to do a couple of these, and they all vary wildly. So I'm going to give you one that I think is great introduction. Okay. I picked this one specifically, and we'll look at the editor's notes because it does stand out a bit. It's got a bit of a, a reputation. So yeah, and it's kind of got some debates behind it in terms of just kind of not debates, but it's gone through a couple of forms, as we'll see later, that make it kind of interesting. So there you go.
Hit me.
With that, I will tell you, because I think this gives away nothing, that this story is called Robin Hood and the Monk.
Okay.
It comes from a 1997 publication from one
that
of my
favorite...
publication. I'll talk about the actual timing of the story, but that gives away some other things because they put it in relation to other tales. So I'm saving all that shit for the end.
Okay.
The book, though, is Robin Hood and Other Outlaw Tales. It was edited by Stephen Knight, and another editor was Thomas Olgren. So thank you, friends. Appreciate you. And here we, here's the other thing. This is late enough. I'm not, again, going to give you the direct year or whatever, but the language can be kind of understood. Okay. And it's a poem. Okay. This was meant to be said in a lot of ways. So I'm going to just fire away with some kind of, not to give away too much, but this is like late medieval, early Renaissance. So I'm just going to go ahead and fire away with what this would have sounded like.
Okay.
And then, you know, kind of unpack it as we go along.
You haven't given away anything. To me, the difference between early Renaissance and late, medieval, cool. They got swords, right? They all got swords. That's about,
That's about it. That's about all you need to know. Yeah. All right. Did I tell you the title?
Yes.
Yeah,
Robin Hood and the Monk.
Perfect. Excellent. All right, here we go. In summer, when the shaws be shine and leaves be larga and long, it is full merry in fairy foresta to hear the fowl's song. So in summer, when the woods are bright and leaves are big and long, right? It's very merry in the forest to hear the bird song, fowl's song.
Okay. Yeah, I'm starting to get an ear for that medieval cadence. You'll could at least nod my way through that. Sure.
Yeah. I think there's some parts I might just rip away and you stop me when need to, you're like, well, okay, I don't know what the fuck's going on here.
Oh, I still didn't quite catch the bird part.
Because it's fowl, right?
That did not connect in my brain at all. I was
it's
bad out there. Yeah,
totally. Yeah, it's multiple meanings for that word, right? So, yeah. To see the deer draw to the dale and leave the hills a he, and shadow him in the leaves a greener under the greener wood tree. So to see the deer draw to the dale and leave the hills high, the high hills. So they're coming down into the valleys.
Sure.
And shadow in the leaves green under the green wood tree, right?
Seems themselves.
Yeah.
Seems picturesque. It's a desktop photo, right? Love it. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So hit befell on Whitsun early in a May morning. The sun up fair can shine and the birdies merry can sing.
Okay. Sunshine and birds are singing. It's a beautiful day.
Yeah, and go ahead.
Oh, for an animated fox to perhaps enter the picture.
I am so sorry I cut you off. That would have been comic gold, man. It still is. So that's great. And also I was cutting you off to mention everything happens on Whitsun. Okay, that's like the start of everything. We've had Whitsun mentioned a bunch.
Yeah.
And Whitsuntide,
just in case I forgot or something, what's Whitsun?
So Whitsun is a religious holiday. It happens early in May. Let me give you the exact worship here. Whitsuntide or day. It has kind of the same idea. Whitsun Day, also known as Whitsun or Whitsunday, is a Christian holiday that takes place on the seventh Sunday after Easter. Commemorates the descent of the Holy Spirit on Jesus' disciples as described in Acts 2 of the Bible's New Testament. The word Whitsun comes from the Anglo-Saxon Huitan Sunundeg, which is first recorded in the Chronicle in 1067. So the name wit is thought to come from the word white, which may refer to Christ's purity.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Sure. I mean, there's a lot of reaches in there, but I can, sure, I can follow that.
Yeah. And I think it's just that, you know, the fact that we've seen it a lot means that it was a popular holiday feast day to, you know, for good shit. And it's probably great weather, you know, like things.
Okay. Yeah, here. Sure. Yeah, it yeah. sounds like it. Yeah.
Yeah. This is a merry morning, said Little John.
Oh, that's the dude. That's the religious guy. Little John. There we go. All right.
I don't think he's religious, but, you know, we'll see if you hone in on that. Okay?
All right. All right.
This is a merry morning, said Little John, by him that died on the tree. A more merry man than I am one lives not in Christianity.
Okay. Okay. Great. Cool. And he who died on a tree's Jesus?
Yeah, tree is the same thing for cross. You'll sometimes hear it called rood. Those all mean the same shit. Yeah, board, wood.
Okay. Yeah.
Him that died on the tree, man. Yeah.
So sure.
Maybe there might have been some stories that are in, like, you know, super archaic forms or anachronistic, apocryphal.
Okay.
Where he's actually crucified on a tree. I'd have to look that up, you know, but... I know the tree. Yeah, yeah.
It begs the question, at what point does a tree stop being a tree?
Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah. At what point do you cut it down and it's like, well, that is no longer a tree. That is a plank of wood.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. You know, yeah. It's a tree bones. pluck up thy heart, my dear master. Little John can say, and think it is a full fair time in a morning of May.
Okay.
Yeah. So, like, you know, again, pluck up thy heart, my dear master, I think is saying that Robin's kind of depressed, right?
And he says, sure, sure. Put a smile on that face. Yeah.
Hey. Yea, one thing grieves of me, said Robin, and does my heart much woe, that I may no solemn day to mass nor matins go.
So he doesn't have a lady.
He can't go to church.
Oh, okay.
He can't go to mass nor matins.
Okay, where I figured matins was maiden.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah,
stuff's not connecting in my brain. But
matins is the prayers that you do, and they happen at different times of the day. And actually, that's how you first get time, which we'll talk about.
How much time they had where... that you're bummed out because you can't go pray.
Yes. Okay. So is that line up with what you thought about Robin Hood? Like, what would bum him out?
I mean,
I can't go to church.
Yeah, that's not what I would think. But at the same time, everyone is kind of so religious at this point that tracks. Sure. Yeah.
All right. It is a fortnight and more, he said here, sin I am my savoracy. Today will I to Nottingham, said Robin, with the might of mild Mary.
Hey, and it got mentioned Nottingham. We are
We're going. We're going. Yeah, he's going to go there. And, you know, it's been a fortnight. It's been 2 weeks since he's seen his savior. And he's going to go with the might of mild Mary, which I love those lines.
Yeah.
Some classic. Then spake Much, the milliner's son, evermore well him betide. Take 12 of thy wheat yemen, well weaponed by thy side. Such on wolde they self slown that 12 dare not abide. Now that one I'll probably have to break down for you a bit.
Yeah, I heard a weapon on your side.
Yep, there you go. That's pretty good. Yeah, not bad. Anything else?
No.
Yeah. So there's a new character. And this guy is actually really well known. I saw this guy in the BBC productions. His name is Much.
Okay, great. Cool.
And in this text, it appears M-O-C-H-E. But it's actually in modern times referred to as M-U-C-H. And that's how it's pronounced.
Yeah. Have you met my friend? His name is And.
Much. What a... His brother many.
I hate it. I just hate it so much.
It's a horrible name, right? That one didn't age well. You know, nobody's naming their kid Much.
Names can be any association of letters. I understand this is coming from a guy named Jan and Marcel.
Yeah.
We have kind of fun, unique names, at least here in California. But just much, where you just cut off halfway through a sentence and we're like, ah, that was the word. Sure, fuck it.
And he's a Miller son. Millers have an interesting reputation in medieval times.
I remember from the I remember from the Canterbury Tales. There's a Miller's tale.
And so they're usually colorful individuals associated with crime. They live by riverways and things like that. You know, typically they make things disappear. They're known to be also corrupt. They put, you know, things in their flour, their mill to give it more weight so that they pay less, right?
Sure. So they're the mafia. They're the medieval mafia.
Kind of,
The Gambinos of back then.
Yeah. And depending on who they work for, they may own the mill itself, or the king owns the mill and they run it. And so they're trying to, you know, cut some off the top of the king. But a mill is a complex piece of machinery back then that was essential to civilization, you know, so that was something I needed to run. So much the Milner's son, and then they even say may good happen to him. So, you know, this is a nod that this is a character that's popular, right? It's like a name drop. So he's saying, this guy says to Robin Hood, who's going to Nottingham, you should take 12 of your strongest yeomen, well weaponed at their side, who, if anybody was trying to kill you, they would not want to face these 12 dudes.
Okay, sure. So how wealthy is Robin Hood if he has just 12 guys who go, yo, you have an entourage?
Yeoman, is an interesting thing in medieval history. So the actual job that they have, you know, a quick Google search puts them as a class intermediate between the gentry and the laborers. They're usually a landholder, but they're also a guard, an attendant, a subordinate official is what it says here. And this stacks up with what you see in like Chaucerian legend. The sheriff in the story comes with like a dagger. He doesn't have anything. He's like a bureaucrat kind of guy. But the yeoman comes like stacked to the bones. He's got like every kind of weapon you could want, you know, a sword, a shield, a bow. He's like a wilderness guy. He's like a ranger. He's like a game warden. He's, you know, anything you need him to be, he fills that role. So yeoman, which these guys will be described as several times as we proceed, are somebody who, again, was a landholder, but was more often than not kind of an intermediary for somebody to enforce some kind of thing, usually by force, you know, like literally enforce, you know, some argument, some land, something that needed to be watched, could be, you know, a number of things. It's a really wide title.
Okay. This implies to me that Robin Hood is above them. If he has just a dozen homies who are stacked with, like, you know, Fred here has a PS5 and like Greg has the Xbox and we've don't you much back there? Good old Much. He has, he has all the classic systems. Like these guys just are showing up to the party with the coolest shit.
Yeah.
Cool. All right.
Of all my merry men, said Robin, by faith I will have, by my faith I will none have. But little John shall bear my bow till that me list to draw.
A bow! Yay! It already got mentioned.
Yeah, there you go. Thou shalt bear thine own, said little John, Meister, and I will bear a minor. And we shall shoot a penny, said little John, under the greenwood lina. So they're shooting arrows for a penny wager.
Okay. I thought it was like shooting, putting a penny up. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Note that shoot in this case is written S-H-E-T, which is pretty funny. So
S-H-E-T?
Shit.
That shit. Yeah.
It's kind of funny. I will not shit a penny, said Robin Hood, in faith, little John, with thee. but ever fore on as thou shootest, said Robin, in faith I hold the three. So he's saying for I won't shoot for with you for a penny, but for every shot you make, I'll pay three. And for every shot you make, you owe me one.
Understood. Right. So I'm so good that I'm stacking it in your direction.
Exactly. Yeah. Thus shut they forth, these yeomen too, both at Busk and Broma, till Little John won of his meister 5 shillings to Hose and Shona. So they were shooting back and forth at bushes and shrubs. So they're just like shooting at like shit, right? Like whoever's bush. Until Little John won of his master 5 shillings for socks and shoes, it says. I don't know why, but.
Oh, okay.
Maybe to complete the rhyme, you know.
Okay, sure.
A fairly strife fell them between as they went by the way. Little John said he had won 5 shillings, and Robin Hood said shortly, nay. So, they got into a great argument, a fight.
Yeah.
As they were going on their way, Little John said, hey, I won 5 shillings
over their marksmanship. Sure.
And Robin Hood said, nay, no, no, no. With that, Robin Hood lied Little John and smote him with his hand. Little John waxed wroth therewith and pulled out his bright branda. So with that, Robin Hood, he called Little John a liar. And he and then struck him with his hand. Yeah. He picked up on that. And Little John waxed wroth, which means he got angry, and pulled out his bright branda, his sword, his brand. Oh, yeah.
Shit's already popping off, and it's popping off with friendlies in the goddamn loading room. Holy crap. All right.
Yeah. Is this what you expected of a Robin Hood story, Jan?
No, I thought they'd be better homies where they would have been able to communicate more and like, get through, because I've had arguments with my friends. We're Losadas, we're fiery.
Yeah.
But I'm also a well-rounded person who understands the value of therapy, where I imagine guys of this era were a little more brutal, and it's showing.
Were thou not my meister, said Little John, thou shouldest buy hit full sora. Get the man where thou willa, for thou gettest me no mora. So he's saying, if you were not my master, you would pay for this very sorely. So get a different man, if you will, for I'm not going to help you anymore.
Okay.
On this going to Nottingham, right?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you fucking, lines are being drawn.
Yeah, there you go. Then Robin goes to Nottingham, himself a morning alone. And Little John to Mary Sherwood, the paths he knew Ilkona.
Okay, so Robin Hood's from Sherwood.
Yeah, he's got his forest base there, dude.
Okay, so get love that. Love it. So he's coming out of his forest base. Him and the Ewoks are kicking it. And then he's like, I'm going to go. I'm so tired of not praying that I'm going to go all the way to, I imagine, a city, a town of... a place with walls. Great.
Yeah, you can still go to Nottingham. So what? That's still a place. Yeah. So I should mention that. It's a city, unitary authority area in Nottinghamshire in the East Midlands, 33 miles southeast of Sheffield.
And so, where the hell is Sheffield?
In England?
Let me back this up. London. I know London. Yeah.
North northwest of London by about, I don't know what this would be. Let's see, about maybe, people are going to yell at me for this. I'm guesstimating here. Maybe 120 kilometers. I don't know. Fuck, something like that.
Okay.
So maybe 150. Okay. Like between that range.
So a pretty far distance between, pretty far out from London.
And now I kind of want to know. Let me see. This is Nottingham. To London. Yeah.
What is it's this the completionist tale? In you. It's the completionist.
It really is. So it's 127 miles. All right. So that more kilometers. Yeah.
Still, that's a hell of a distance.
200 kilometers. Okay. Yeah. So there you go. So that's Nottingham to London. 2.5 hours by car. So it's not horrible. Right now, that's what the traffic will take you. 2 hours 36 by car. This is crazy. 2 hours 36 minutes by car. 2 hours 25 minutes by their train. I think.
The efficiency.
The National Express 450. Yeah. That would never happen in the United States.
Nope.
Hopefully one day.
I really do hope. I use the metro all the damn time. And it's not reliable or great, but it is cheap. So at least there's that.
Yeah, Sherwood Forest is also a thing. But that being said, from what I've heard, it's plagued with tourist trap shit. Oh, that whole area, you know. Go ahead.
I would expect nothing. As a person who's been to Roswell, New Mexico, any place that is just an armpit of a nation that is just tucked away in a corner, everyone there is just trying to make their ends meet by just milking the fact that people show up going, that thing happened here, huh? And boy, howdy, was I ready to give them money. I think I went through the Ufology Institute twice. I went through it once, and then later in the day, I was like, you know, I should go back. I have some stuff I'm kind of curious about.
Yeah, you know, it's probably exactly that experience, you know, but it's 1,000 acres, so it's a pretty big wood.
Yeah, sure.
It is a national nature reserve. So, you know, it does encompass the area, Nottinghamshire. And of course, gets its name from being essentially the shire or forest of Nottingham. So, sure. I mean, it's not exactly rocket science over there. So and the pass he knew Ilkona, which Ilk one or each one is what it means. So okay. He knew all the ways to get through this place.
Sure. He knows it like the back of his hand.
Exactly.
Yeah.
When Robin came to Nottingham, certainly without in lane, he prayed to God and mild Mary to bring him out safe again. So, okay. Certainly without lane is without a lie. So he just, you know, he got there. He goes into St. Mary's church and kneeled down before the rood. All that ever were the church within beheld well Robin Hood. Beside
that's himself, that's a good rhyme.
That's
a pretty good rhyme. That's a lyric. That's good. Yeah.
Behind him stood a great headed monka. I prayed to God, woe he be. Full soon he knew good Robin, as soon as he him see.
So this monk has a head that's 3 times larger than the rest of his body. Because that's what great headed means to me.
Yeah. So you could take this a couple of different ways. But a great headed monk, right? When Robin goes to St. Mary's Church in Nottingham, the city church, very close to the market he visits as a potter, he's recognized by a great headed monk whom Robin has robbed of 100 pounds. So the scene is reminiscent of an episode in a different story that rivals this one, where he steals 800 pounds from a fat headed monk. So it's kind of like a thing.
Sure.
So just, you know, but yes, he's big headed. He got that part 100%.
It's GoldenEye with the big head mod on. Yeah.
Cool. Yep. Or who is that? The DC guy that has the giant head? Is it DC or Marvel? He's like the observer. I mean,
MODOK. Yeah. Oh, the Watcher.
The Watcher. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Out at the door he ran, full soon and anon. All of the gates of Nottingham he made to be sparred, every each one.
Okay, so he had to fight his way through each gate?
No, the monk, as soon as he sees Robin Hood, runs out of the church and has all the gates closed.
Okay.
Barred, right? Sure. Every gate is closed.
But he's already been in. He's already done the prayer.
Well, he's in the church, essentially.
I understand.
So, yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And the monk left the church.
I understood. Yeah. Okay.
Rise up, he said, thou proud sheriff, busk thee and make thee bowna. I have spied the king's a felon, forsooth he is in this town. So he's saying, get up to the sheriff, right? So you get your sheriff of Nottingham. I'm not sure if that was one of the characters you identified.
Yes, it was. Yep.
And he said, hurry and make yourself ready because I've spied the king's felon. And for Truly's, forsooth, right? Like a soothsayer, true sayer.
Okay.
For
Okay.
truth, he's in this town.
Okay, sure. So we're going to try to trap or catch good old Robin Hood, the rogue of rogues, now that he's in town. And we've barred all the gates. And oh boy, we've got a trap cooking.
I have spied the false felon as he stands at his mass. It is long of thee, said the monk, and ever he from us pass. This traitor's name is Robin Hooda, under the green wood Linda. He robbed me once of £100. It shall never out of my mind. So again, the guy here kind of divulges fully that he was robbed of £100, right?
Sure, sure. This guy. But at Robin Hood's hand.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Up then rose this proud sheriff, and Radley made him Yara. Many was the mother's son to the kirk with him Canfara. So up then the sheriff got ready, essentially, and many mother's sons to the church with him went.
Okay, right? Sure.
In at the doors they throwly thrashed with staves full good wanna. Alas, alas, said Robin Hood, now miss I little John. Right, so... in at the doors, they were breaking in. So everybody's coming in with staffs, plenty of staffs and whatever. And so, alas, said Robin Hood, I miss now Little John. Yeah.
A weird weapon choice, but I like that there are a lot of Donatellos in this era that, you know, in a world of swords, a bow staff can do some damage.
Yeah. Right. Plus, they're also trying to take him alive, I think.
Okay. So they'll just fucking beat him up.
Beat the shit
drag,
out.
Yeah, and then to drag him in. Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's what I get from this next line. But anyway. But Robin took out a two-hand sword.
He took out a two-hand sword.
Yes,
okay?
He did.
I got that one.
That hang it down by his knee. There as the sheriff and his men stood thickest, the duarde would he. So, you know, he went thitherward. Towards them.
Okay, sure. So you all showed up to a gunfight with, or you showed up with knives to a gunfight. Like, yeah, I got you.
Thrice through at them he ran then, forsooth, as I you say, and woundest many a mother's son, and 12 he slew that day.
God damn, he's getting to work. Yeah. My motherfucker took 12 lives.
Fucking operator, dude.
To go and pray. That's what God's will is. No. 12 lives need to happen because I can't pray at home. No. I need to pray here in this sacred building, you see.
And I love that it says thrice through he ran them, right? Like three is a like religious number, but yeah, also sure. Just like running through them and just like, you know, this is the Game of Thrones fight scene through the great hall where he cuts through once, twice, three times, and 12 dudes are dead. You know,
sure, like dude. Says, it's it's a fucking anime. Yeah,
it's exactly what it is. Yeah, and he's just fucking shit up. His sword upon the sheriff head, certainly he breaka in two. The smith that thee had made, said Robin, I pray to God work him woo. So, the sword, when he was hitting the sheriff on the head, probably on his armor, it broke in two.
Oh,
and
wow.
So he wants to wish woe to the smith that made the sword.
Sure. I would be pretty pissed about my tool, too, if it broke mid-action. Yeah.
For now am I weaponless, said Robin. Alasa, again am I will. But if I may flee these traitors from, I wot thee will me kill. So I'm weaponless now. If I don't flee these people, they're going to kill me, right? Yep. I know that I will die.
Especially after you iced 12 dudes, dude. Like you probably could have gotten away with a ticket or something, but then you went buck wild.
Yeah.
Buck wild.
Robin into our church ran throughout him every ilcon. So Robin into so he ran into their church, right? And kind of weaving through everybody. And then here's a fun thing. There's a gap in the narrative here between the bottom of the verso of one leaf and the top of the recto of the next.
God damn it! Fucking medieval stories, man! Woo! Yeah. You're telling me What was it, a coffee stain? What led to an incomplete text?
Evidently, a single leaf has been lost.
This is that moment in Planet Terror, in Death Proof, where it cuts to scene missing and then cuts back and the house is on fire.
Yeah,
you know, this is that exact scene. What?
Yeah, and we just have to guess at what happens. So it says, in the interim, we would have been told how Robin is probably captured and how the outlaws hear of it, probably through a boy carrying a message. It's probably carrying about 48 lines because 24 to the page is the average in this poem.
Okay, and that would have, one leaf would have been 2 pages?
Yeah, essentially. Yeah, one side on each. As the poem continues, the scene has now changed to Sherwood, where news of this disaster has just arrived, and all but Little John are deeply upset.
Sure, Little John's still a little bitter about the whole smackdown that Robin Hood gave. Robin Hood's being a little bit of a bitch, not being able to properly deal with his emotions of losing a bow tournament. Wow. Okay, so Robin Hood got caught. Something happened and he is now captured. All right.
Yeah. Some fell in swooning as they were deada and lay still as any stoner. None of them were in her mind up, but only Little John. So some of the people, as they hear this news, and again, I'm going to have to kind of just catch you up a little bit. They're hearing the news. Ooh, that was fun. They're hearing the news that Robin Hood has been captured. And so they're swooning as if they were dead and laying still as a stone. None of them kept their heads except for Little John.
Sure, like North Korea when the great leader died.
There you go. Yep.
Everyone's just bonkers because, oh, could you imagine that guy that I guess rules this place?
Let be your ruler, said Little John, for his love that died on the tree. Yet that ye should be doughty men's, hit is great shame to see. So, or ye that she should be doughty men's. Calm your emotions for, of course, Christ that died on the tree, his love that died on the tree. You should be strong men. It's a great shame to see you like this. Our Meister has been hard bestood and yet scaped away. Pick up your hearts and leave this Mona and hearken what I shall say. He has served our lady many a day and yet will securely. Therefore, I trust in her specially. No wicked death shall he die. So he's saying our master has escaped. He served our lady, so he's not going to die, right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. No, that was actually the most modern part of this. That was almost modern English.
There's some parts where I might be able to get through. So again, you just let me know.
I'm not even saying no, your additional explanation is always appreciated. It is rather that as I've been going through, a lot of it sounds like another language or talking to a Scottish person. It sounds like just a modern day, like, poorly written poem.
That's awesome. Therefore, be glad, said Little John, and let this morning be. And I shall be the monk's guide with the might of mild Marie. And I am me to him, said Little John. We will go, but we too. Look at that ye keep a well our trysel tree. Under the leaves small, and spare none of this venison that goes in this valley. So I'm going to be the monk. I'm going to take care of the monk with the help of Mary. I'm going to meet him, and we're going to go just the two of us. So you guys hang out and keep our trysting tree or meeting tree here. Keep hunting the deer in this valley.
Sure. Yeah. Keep up that activity. Sure.
Yeah. Forth then went these yeomen too, Little John and much on Farah, and looked on much Emmy's house. The highway lay full nearer. So they went, these yeomen, it was Little John and much, right? And they went to much's uncle's house, which is near the highway, right? Like literally the way that goes high.
No, don't you worry. I got this uncle near town. Look, he's looked the other way every other time. All right. It's good to have that uncle. It's good to have that guy that's just gonna, yeah, don't worry about it.
Well, remember, Much is the miller's son, right? So, yeah. Little John stood at a window in the morning and looked forth at a stage. He was war where the monk came riding, and with him a little page. So, Little John, when it says he stood at a stage, he's on the second floor.
Okay. Oh, okay. Huh. Okay.
And he was aware when the monk came riding in, and with him was a little page. So a page, of course, is somebody helping. Like okay. A squire, but you know, sure. Page is more a servant. By my faith, said Little John to Much, I can thee tell tithings good. I see where the monk comes riding. I know him by his wide hood. So he's got a big head and he's got a big hood.
I can't. I mean, oh boy, it's like in the era of early techno with big pants. This guy just thinks being hip is having a gigantic hood. I mean, honestly, I'd rock that look. That's pretty cool.
It's definitely a Balenciaga kind of thing. Yeah.
It's Frank Owens. It's Spaceballs. instead of a giant Vader helmet, just a giant hood. Yeah. It's cool.
They went into the way, these yeomen both, as courteous men and handy, they spurred tithings at the monk as though they had been his friend. So went, these two men, as courteous, like they were courteous and gracious, so probably, you know, dolled up. And they cast greetings, asked news of the monk, as spurred tithings, as though they had been his friends. For whence come ye, said Little John, tell us tithings, I you pray, of a false outlaw who was taken yesterday. He robbed me and my fellows both of 20 mark and certain. If that false outlaw be taken, forsooth, we would be fain. So there's Little John and Much are saying, there was an outlaw. Do you have any news about him? He took 20 bucks from us, right?
Okay, 20 marks. Sure, yeah. Sure.
So they're kind of lying, right? So did he me, said the monk, of 100 pound and more. I laid first hand to him upon. Ye may thank me therefore.
In that deleted scene, I got the first good hit on him. Let me tell you. I know you didn't see it, but I'm just letting you know I was the one.
I pray God thank of you, said Little John, and we will, when we may, we will go with you with your leave and bring you on your way. For Robin Hood has many a wild fellow, I tell you, in certain. If they wist ye rode this way, in faith you should be slain. So he's saying, Robin, we got to go with you to your way, wherever you're going, because Robin Hood has many people in this forest. And if they find out that you're here, you could be killed.
Sure. Classic, like, bearing the lead, like, yeah, classic misdirect. From the criminals, like, oh no, you should go with us. This place is pretty dangerous, even though we're the danger.
That's right. As they went talking by the way, the monk and Little John, John took the monk's horse by the head, full soon and anon. John took the monk's horse by the head, forsooth, as I you say, so did Much the little page, for he should not escape away. So Little John's taking the monk's horse by the head, and Much taking the little page's horse by the head. By the gullet of the hood, John pulled the monk down. John was nothing of him against. He let him fall upon his crown. Little John was so aggrieved and drew out his sword in high. The monk saw he should be dead. Loud mercy can he cry. He was my meister, said Little John, that thou hast bought in bail. Shall thou never come at our king? For to tell him the tale.
So Little John grabs the monk off of his horse,
uh-huh.
Pulls out a sword.
Yep.
Says, "By Meister, that's master." Or like,
he was my Meister, my master. Yep.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So no, you got my homie. Robin Hood. Yeah. Uh-huh. He's like the head of this thing. He's my Kaneda to my bike gang. And we're gonna, if you don't do what we say, we're gonna, we're It's gonna be a little pokey pokey time.
Yep. Yeah,
Yeah,
you got
by
it.
that murder, he's gonna murder. Yeah.
You're never gonna come to the king to tell him the tale of what happened here, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Next line. John smote off the monk's head. No longer would he dwell. So did much the little page, for feared lest he would tell.
Wait, what? You're telling me? You're telling me Little John,
yep,
with a sword in hand,
yep,
Isis
decapitates.
The this went from a fun little jaunty tale.
Yeah, it takes a hard right right here, dude.
We just got a baker's dozen kills, with the 13 there. And then after the monk is dead, he ices the page.
Yeah, Much does. Much sees John go, and Much just takes off the little page. For feared lest he would tell, for feared lest he would tell. So for fear that he would, tell what happened. So he killed him because he was just there.
I'm gonna tell you right now. It's a good call.
Fucking ice cold. Yeah, it's right. It's a medieval age. Yeah,
totally. But at the same time, yo.
Yo, this is.
This is why Robin Hood works better with like animated foxes, because it's fun to have a lovable criminal until they fucking ice 14 people.
For these, especially the monk doesn't do anything wrong. He's just got a big head, dude. That's the only thing that I can see that he did wrong. He saw a felon that robbed him, right? And then he was like, fuck, I gotta go tell the king. This is horrible. And they capture him. And then his buddies want to free him, so they just take him. These are not good people.
They drag him horrible into the people. Woods and murder him. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
And then, here you go. There they buried them both in neither moss nor lime.
At least they got a proper burial. Yeah.
And they didn't. It says specifically they did not bury them in the bog nor the heath.
Oh, look at that. Oh, the compassion. What gems.
Holy shit.
These upstanding people chose to bury them properly. Good. No, that's good. This fuck, man. I think I would I've lived in some pretty sketchy parts of Los Angeles. And it takes, there's like a line of when you call it in, right? a guy shitting literally like his back on your truck middle of the night. Okay, I don't know, man. There probably was a better. I'm not calling that in. A guy comes at you with a hatchet. That was a night I dropped the dime, right? Like, there's a line where you have to make that call. These guys drop the dime immediately. This is this is America's most wanted status. These guys are ice cold killers. Ice cold.
Oh, yeah. And liars, right? Like, they're calling, they're like serial killers. Behavior, dude. Yeah, it's just 14 horrible.
Dead.
Yeah.
14.
And Little John and Much and Farah bear the letters to our king. So the Little John and Much together are going to take the letters from the monk to the king that were saying that they have Robin Hood, right?
Okay, sure.
Little John came unto the king. He kneeled down upon his knee. God, you save my liege lord. Jesus, you save and see. God, you save my my liege king. To speak, John was full of bold. He gave him the letters in his hand. The king did hit unfold. The king read the letters anon and said, so mot I thee. There was never yeoman in merry England. I long it so sore to see. Where is the monk that these should have brought? Our king can say. By my truth, said Little John, he died after the way.
Okay. So, catch me up.
So, Little John comes to see the king, right? And so he says, God save you, my king. And he was being bold. So he's just kind of gives him the letters that he has. The king reads it and says, "There was never a yeoman in merry England I longed so sore to see." So I really want to see this guy, Robin Hood. And king says, "Where's the monk that should have brought these?" And Little John says, "Well, he died along the way," right?
Natural causes. He died of natural causes.
And apparently this happens enough that people were like, "Oh, okay, yeah, that happens." The king gave Much and Little John 20 pounds in certain and made them yeomen of the crown and bade them go again. He gave John the seal in hand to sheriff for to bear to bring Robin him to, and no man do him dare. So the king gives Much and Little John 20 pounds as a reward for coming. And then he made them yeomen of the crown. So he gives them some kind of power and bade them go again. He gives John, well, he doesn't know, right? How the fuck does he know? You guys are legit.
First of all, the number of persuasion checks.
Yeah, totally.
These guys had to do.
Well, they're legends, Jan.
For sure. They're level 20s. Yeah, sure. To get even in front of the king, and then the king pays them and gives them a title.
Yeah.
Fuck, dude.
And he gives John a seal in his hand for the sheriff that says to give him Robin Hood and to give Robin Hood to Little John and no man to harm him on the way.
What? So they also got Robin Hood let go.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Because they're supposed to bring Robin Hood to the king.
To the king. For sure. Either way, what? I mean, at least we're not following bad criminals. These guys are like, this is Breaking Bad level where
we're dealing with
like damn near superhumans. This is peak human accomplishment. Yeah, this is wow. Just wow. Wow.
John took his leave at our king, the sooth as I used to say, the next way to Nottingham to take he ye to the way. When John came to Nottingham, the gates were sparred each one. John called up the porter. He answered soon anon. "What is the cause?" said Little John. "Thou sparrest the gates so fast." "Because of Robin Hood," said the porter, "in deep prison is cast." So, Little John comes to Nottingham. The gates are all closed up. John calls up and says, "Why are they all the gates barred up?" And they said, "We got Robin Hood in a deep prison."
Oh, that guy, don't worry about him. He wouldn't hurt a fly. Maybe 12.
Yeah. And then the porter here, who is the gatekeeper, right?
Yeah.
Says, "John and Much and Will Scatlock, forsooth, as I you say, they slew our men upon our walls and assaulted us every day." So it's John and Much and Will Scatlock is Will Scarlet sometimes.
Okay. And is he like one of the Knights of the Round Table that I'm not aware of, but
you nailed it. In the Kevin Costner one, I think it's that one, he's got like daggers, like they make him like
flips
the knives and throws the knives, you know, Robin Hood's got the bow and Will Scarlet's got the knives.
He's the machete of
which
the
is dope, dude. Yeah. Like so into it, dude.
Incredible. Incredible.
Yeah. Give me that guy, you know? Yeah, yeah, totally. I'm totally, who's the guy from, I feel like it might've been based on him as the guy from the Umbrella Academy that throws the knives, Diego, right?
Oh yeah, sure, Diego, so, yep. Yeah, I was also thinking El Mariachi.
Oh yeah, I'll take that.
Yeah, yeah. The knife thrower, yeah.
Yeah, perfect. Although, and as you'll see, well, it says here that these guys are assaulting the walls every day and they're slaying the men. So the kill count's still going up.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
So they're just picking. Yeah. Okay. They're being town menaces. Sure. They're tagging on the walls. They're pissing everywhere they want. Yeah. No, we got to get rid of these guys.
Little John spurred after the sheriff, and soon he him found. He opened the king's privy seal and gave him in his Honda. So Little John came over, found the sheriff, and gave the king's private seal, and put it in his hand. When the sheriff saw the king's seal, he did of his hood anon. Where is the monka that bare the letters? He said to Little John. He is so fain of him, said Little John, forsooth as I you say, he has made him abbot of Westminster, a lord of that abbey.
So the monk that got iced was going to be made the minister of a place.
Westminster, the abbot of Westminster, which is famously, you know, very close to London. It's like a they said they were the king was so happy to receive the monk and the good news about Robin Hood that he made him the abbot of Westminster, right? So more lies, dude. It's great.
Sure. And that they killed a government like official. Yeah. Good. Yep. Great.
The sheriff made John good cheer and gave him wine of the best. At night, they went to Arbeda and every man to his rest. When the sheriff was on sleeper, drunken on wine and ale, Little John and Much forsooth take the way unto the jail. Little John called up the jailer and bade him rise anon. He said Robin Hood had broken the prison and out of it was gone. The porter rose anon, certain as soon as he heard John call. Little John was ready with a sword and bare him through the wall. You got that one? Yeah, he stabbed him through the wall. Into the wall, like, enough to fucking,
Half-Life 2 using the crossbows, guys, to the wall. Fucking love it. Love all of this. Also, the idea of like organizing a pretty elaborate means of breaking your homie out of jail. It's a
D&D adventure. Yeah. It's half-baked and they're just rolling their way through, dude.
And he already got out. he's just that good that he didn't need anyone else to help him break out. Love it.
Well, he's still in the...
Okay.
He says to get the guy out of the bed, he says Robin Hood's broken the prison. He's like, Robin Hood's escaped. And the guy's like, what? And he, that's what he says.
I understand. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So he just said it to...
Because I think he needs the keys. Yeah, I don't know.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
But maybe because of this part. So now will I be jailer, said Little John, and took the keys in Honda.
By the way, what a good last action line for the medieval ages. That is such a good last action line. Just a stab into the wall and looking the guy eye to eye. I'm the jailer now. Yeah. And takes the keys and watches the life drain out of him. I think we're at 15 officially on this quest, but yeah.
Yeah. Now will I be jailer, said Little John, and took the keys in Honda. He took the way to Robin Hood, and soon he him unbonda.
I love it. Yeah, he unbound.
Yep,
Robin Hood. Yep.
He gave him a good sword in his hand, his head therewith to keep a, and there as the walls were lowest, anon down can they leap a.
Okay.
So he gave him a good sword. He's there to protect him, right? To keep his head is another way of saying, like, you're going to, you know, be like a bodyguard, same kind of thing.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And when they found that the walls were the lowest, they leapt down.
I'm surprised they didn't just go on a killing spree. Like, at this point, these fucking murder hobos, the fact that they're not like, well, right now, no one knows we're out. Let's just go get some fucking loot.
Yeah, right, dude. Like, and if I was in a RPG game, these guys are going to pay, dude. I'm taking down this whole fucking castle.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Right? You know, like, yeah.
There's probably sweet stuff and stuff. This is going to be my new home.
We're going to get is epic, legendary.
By that, the cock began to crow. The day began to spring. The sheriff found the jailer dead. The common bell made he ring. He made a cry throughout all the town, whether he be yeoman or knave. The croweth bring him Robin Hood. His warison he should have. So warison is a ransom.
Okay.
Okay. So anybody that can bring him Robin Hood, they're going to get some.
Yeah, sure.
"For I dare never," said the sheriff, "come before our king, for if I do, I won't certain, forsooth, he will me hang." So okay. Yeah, I don't want to tell the king what happened because he's going to hang me.
Hang me, yeah, sure.
"The sheriff made to seek a Nottingham, both by Streeta and Steena, and Robin was in Mary Sherwood, as light as leaf on Linda." So, you know, the sheriff was searching everywhere by street and alleys, and Robin was in the forest as light as a leaf on a Linwood tree.
Okay, cool. Hanging. He's back with the Ewoks. He's back in his musical little town. Great.
Jub, jub, jub.
Yeah.
"Then bespake a good little John to Robin Hood, can he say, I have done thee a good turn for an ill. Quit me one thou may. I have done thee a good turn," said Little John, "forsooth, as I thee say, I have brought thee under the greenwood linna. Farewell, and have a good day." So Little John to Robin Hood said, "I've done a good turn for an ill." So, you know, I did you good when you did me bad.
Yeah, which is very valid. Yeah. Very valid. Yeah.
And quit me when thou may. It may seem like, you know, leave me, but it actually in this case means repay me.
Right? Okay.
So huh. Okay. "I've done a good turn," said Little John, "forsooth, as I say, or truly as I say, I brought thee under the greenwood lin." So again, you know, these beautiful linwood trees. And so farewell. And he says, Robin, "Nay, by my truth," said Robin, "so shall it never be. I make thee meister," said Robin, "of all my men and me."
Okay.
So he's making Little John the master.
Wow. Wow. So Little John's now Robin Hood's position.
Yeah, maybe, you know, I'll read these together because it's kind of funny. They mirror each other. This happens sometimes. "Nay, by my truth," said Robin, "so shall it never be. I make thee meister," said Robin, "of all my men and me." "Nay, by my truth," said Little John, "so shall it never be. But let me be a fellow," said Little John, "no noder keep I be." So Robin's saying, "I'm going to make you master." And Little John is saying, "No, just I just want to be a fellow. I just want to follow you.
Yeah. You
know, nothing else do I care to be." Yeah.
You know, and the amount of times I've been in management and just sat there and thought, you know, yeah, the extra $35 is really not that. I don't want to be here. I'd rather be back where I didn't have to deal with all this. So I'm not going to lie, John is winning my heart. He's also has a, despite his two very brutal murders, still quite under the kill count of Robin. So yeah, I think he's winning the show for me.
Nice. "Thus John got to Robin Hood out of prison, certain withouten lane. One his men saw him whole and sounder, forsooth they were full fain." So you know, John got Robin out of prison, certainly without a lie. So when his men saw him holding sound, they were happy.
He lied the whole time. He lied the whole time.
No, it's saying, like, I tell you that John got Robin Hood out of prison, certainly without a lie.
Sure.
Not that John didn't lie.
John
there's
lied
a lot of lies.
Through his teeth.
But that this story is true, which is something we'll talk about at a certain point, because I have a Robin Hood story down the line that'll deal with that. But anyway, they filled in wine and made him glad under the levees smaller, and yeta paste. Oh yeah, this one's good. And yeta pasties of a venison that gooda was with ale. So
all I pictured were pasties.
Yeah.
That's all I pictured. So
do you know what a pasty is though?
I very much know what a pasty is. Oh yeah. I'm weird. I'm hip. I get with it.
They're like empanadas.
No, they're not.
They really are in England.
No. There's a lot of internet documentaries I've seen that would prove you wrong.
I don't know. You type in pasty to an English person and they're going to be hungry. You know, it's exactly like an empanada.
Look, you, I'm not gonna yuck your yum.
Yeah.
However you feel, looking upon a pasty is a valid expression of you. I'm just telling you, you are incorrect in that. I can't, they're like the same nutritional value as a Band-Aid. You're not gonna get a lot out of those, my guy.
Yeah, and it's just kind of weird that they you know, it's like and then they all had beer and corn dogs, you know, like I don't know,
Yeah.
you know, like what? Like what? Why such a specific, why not say they feasted or you know, it was, but it's literally they filled in wine and then under the levee small the leaves, the small leaves right of the tree, they ate these pasties of venison. So they're deer. You know, like it's such a specific food that they're all eating that goes good with ale.
Okay. I mean, they
That good was with ale. Yes. I don't
I,
know. Yeah.
it sounds like a good Friday night to me. So,
It does, but it's like, you know, it's written by somebody who's, you know, I think you know, like I feel like it needs like Dave's Roadhouse sponsored, you
yeah,
know,
for
the,
sure.
we
No,
got
for
our
sure.
pasties of venison. They're so good, man. You got to try this out. You know, like, I don't
Yeah.
know. All right. So then word came to our king how Robin Hood was gone and how the sheriff of Nottingham durst never look him upon. Then bespake our comely king in an anger high, Little John has beguiled the sheriff in faith. So has he me. So the word came to the king how Robin Hood was gone, right? Like they had jailbroken and how the sheriff of Nottingham, you know, didn't even see the monk, right? And then the king was like, well, Little John beguiled the sheriff and he also beguiled me. Little John has beguiled us both, and that full well I see, or else the sheriff of Nottingham, he hung it should he be. So, you know, Little John has beguiled us both. If not, this guy should be hung, right? I
Sure.
made him yeoman of the crown and gave him fee with my hand. I gave him grith, said our king, throughout all merry England. So, you know, I gave him money myself when they were here and I pardoned them. And, you know, throughout all of England. I gave them girth, said our king. I say, so mought I thee. For sooth, such a yeoman as he is on in all England are not three. So I gave them security, I say, so may I prosper. For such a yeoman as he in this whole place of England, there's not three of
Okay,
them.
sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
He is true to his meister, said our king. I say, by sweet Saint John, he loves better Robin Hood than he does us each one.
I mean, that's kind of true. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Robin Hood is ever bond to him, both in streeta and stalla. Speak no more of this matter, said our king, but John has beguiled us alla.
Once again, very valid. That's a accurate statement. Yes, John got under all of you in like three rolls. That guy just knocked through all those challenges.
Thus endeth the talking of the monk and Robin Hood, I wisse. God that is ever a crowned king, bring us all to his bliss.
Of course. Of course, we end like that. That's the end, right? Or,
The scribe also wrote Amen at
oh,
the
yep,
end. Yeah,
of
so
course.
that's according
This,
to the
I
editor.
mean, it is a very biblical story in that 15 innocent people just died, and we don't really seem to give a fuck.
All right. You want to hear what the editor has to say about this?
Hit me. I'm still processing all the emotions of this journey.
Yeah. Which is pretty short for us, you know, like this one,
Oh, yeah,
you
for
know.
sure. But I will say this, at least this has the pacing
Yes.
of a more modern tale where we aren't just going off and
Just doing, yeah.
eating another guy's food and then sexually assaulting his girlfriend. We don't, there isn't a bunch of just arbitrary nonsense thrown in and It very much feels like a complete. This absolutely has a like more traditional three act structure where there's an A, B, C that occurred. And I really did appreciate that. That's
Yeah,
at least
honestly, yeah.
as a if I were in the medieval times, and again, Perseus was or
Percival.
Percival. Sorry, Perseus is a different good dude.
Oh yeah, but still an
Whatnot.
epic story. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
But
yeah.
Percival, where Percival had just never found its rhythm, this at least knew that stories, if you're gonna hold someone's attention, try to think about it like a song. You
Yeah.
can't have a you can't unless you're fucking Dream Theater or something, you can't have a 25-minute song that just never finds a rhythm and is just kind of floating out there and think that it's good. This at least had a beat to it where, okay, we're just traipsing through the story.
Yeah, and part of it I think is what you nailed on is that there's a performative aspect of this one. It's often known as a ballad. It does have a rhyme and a kind of meter that is not strict, you know, clearly, you know, there's some lines where it's kind of hard to make the rhyme, and it's also not you know, necessarily like a strict meter, but it does have
Sure.
you know, I'd say roughly between 5 and, you know, sometimes 9, 10 metric feet to it. So, you know, there's a sing-songiness to it. So it probably would have been performed in some way, you know. So anyway, here's what the editor says. This is from, I believe, both Stephen Knight and Olgr. Doesn't say specifically, but here's what they write. Robin Hood and the Monk is preserved in Cambridge University Manuscript Folio 5.48. The manuscript is damaged by stains and hard to read. And it was, it seems, not known to Percy or Ritson, which is really popular medievalists in the Victorian times,
Okay.
unlike all other major Robin Hood ballads. It was first printed and given to the title by Robert Jameson in his popular Ballads and Songs of 1806. The edition itself was quite heavily edited and erroneous, and a better text appeared in C.H. Hartshorne's Ancient Metrical Tales in 1829. Nevertheless, Sir Frederick Madden wrote in a slip preserved in his copy in the British Library that this was the worst edited text he had ever come across. And he recollated the whole edition. His version of the ballad then appeared in an appendix in the second edition of Ritson's Robin Hood in 1832, and it was titled Robin Hood and the Monk. Although the title, like that of other early ballads, only refers to the initial enemy, not the sheriff who is the ultimate threat, it still seems better than A Tale of Robin Hood used by Hartshorne and Gooch.
Well, yeah, that's as generic as fuck. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, and I love that shade. The worst edited, you know, it must have been really bad. So,
Yeah, no shit. Yeah.
you know, the Cambridge manuscript, here called A, is written in a very clear cursive hand, according to Dobson and Tyler in 1976, page 115, and dated sometime after 1450. So,
Oh, wow.
yeah.
So that's the era we're looking at, the 1450s ish.
Yeah, some things that make us think that is the reference in line 331 to Our Comely King, also found in The Jest, which is another Robin Hood story, has been taken as referring to the notably handsome Edward IV. How's that for being a cool king and being notably handsome?
Oh, dude, you're Giga Chad status. I
Yeah.
mean, sick.
And they called him the Handsome King. That's what he was known as. That's his
Wow.
title.
So he probably had most of his teeth.
Yes, just something. Yeah. Which would date the ballad in this form as after 1461. This is by no means impossible, but the phrase was certainly used of Edward III, and the error in copying could well support an earlier text that has been transmitted several times. There's also a single manuscriptly preserved in the Bagford Ballads in the printed book collection in the British Library here called B, which also appears to be of the later 15th century. And although the Cambridge version is obviously the only source for the poem as a whole, it is held in the edition that B provides a few preferred readings, right? So again, they give you some shade. Here we go with the date, and then I'll give you one or two more things on our way out. The date is important, though some have thought the jest is earlier. It is at base a literary compilation, and so Robin Hood and the Monk is the oldest extant or existing example of the Rhymes of Robin Hood referred to by Langland in the 1370s. So this is alluded to that these stories are actually older, but this is the only version we have that survives that talks about it.
Okay, sure.
Right, which so is kind of cool. Yeah. Yeah,
so it's a story that was kicking around for a while before a version that we can actually, that we have held in a museum has actually survived the test of time.
Right. So one of the earliest ones is from the Rhymes of Robin Hood, which I think is Piers Plowman that mentions it from Langland. But anyway, that would have been pretty. Yeah, it's from Piers Plowman. I nailed that one.
Good job. Pat yourself on the back.
I did.
Deserve it. You deserve it.
Implied by Andrew of Winton in the 1420s, and both described and exemplified by Walter Bower in the 1440s. Bower's Latin summary of a Robin Hood story is the nearest contemporary to this ballad as a narrative, and the two texts share a sense of Robin's deep religious faith, as well as suspicion and hostility towards royal officials. Both also lack the lighthearted tone that is found in other stories, which I won't mention in case we get to them, characterized most of the later tradition. So he gets softened up a lot later on.
Which, sure, because we become a softer society. When we're supposed to root for the fucking, like, I'll root for a criminal if they have a heart of gold, but these guys don't really have a heart of gold. This is the story of fucking hoodlums running amok in society. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm going to give you the last, like, two kinds of thoughts here. Right. Because it ends at some of criticism, and I mean that from a literary sense, so not problems with it, but rather the analysis of the text, right? Like a true criticism, so like a critic, right? Child welcomed Robin Hood and the Monk as a very perfection in its kind, and Dobson and Taylor assert that it has, talking about the story, like as a story of Robin Hood, and Taylor assert that the story has held a pride of place as the most distinguished and artistically accomplished of all the Robin Hood ballads. That's from 1976. This view appears to stem in part from a sense of antiquity. Child prints it next, but one after the jest, which is a different one, but clearly also from his idea of its originary excellence, especially his admiration of the arresting opening stanzas. This high evaluation is tolerant of the fact that the ballad clearly lacks some material. Commentators all agree that a substantial passage is missing after line 120, and that this has been caused by the loss of a leaf in the original manuscript. The lacuna in the manuscript, like the pages torn from Percy's folio manuscript, may itself have appeared attractively Gothic in its antique incompletion. So they're saying because it's missing a page, that actually may have made it even more popular later on.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Would other storytellers just fill it in, or would they just do the scene missing cutover?
Good question. I think both has been done. There's sure. been, like I mentioned, critique of it. So here's the last part, and then we'll talk about some of the themes. I'd imagine both over time, you know, some people probably,
much time going,
but it's kind of like this, yeah. Like, let's say you find, the Venus de Milo.
Okay. Yeah. Cause it's missing parts of it. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. There's whole statues, but why is the Venus de Milo special? because it's incomplete. It's worn by time. It's erased. It's a reminder of the savage, intrinsic, you know, Langolier, you know, to use Stephen King term, kind of quality that time erases, that we are mortal, that even the greatest representations of art crumble and die, which is such an Anglo-Saxon theme in their poetry too. You know, it comes, the wall, right? Ratlich is this wall stone, you know, the whole story of that is that he's, it's like Ozymandias, right? He sees a wall that's broken and he thinks there used to be this beautiful town here, but now it's laid to waste, you know?
I've always pronounced it Ozymandias. Is it Ozymandias?
Ozymandias is, I've heard it. Ozymandias, I've heard it. So I'm sure they're both okay. Yeah.
Sure, I literally only know that reference because of The Watchmen.
Yeah,
I'm such a comic book nerd that I have to take it back to comics. So, wow.
Look upon me, mighty works, and tremble.
Yeah. learned a lot today. Learned a lot.
So here's the other side of it, right? A dissenting voice on the ballad is that of Holt, who calls it a blood and thunder adventure, and feels that after the return to Sherwood, the remnant of the tale is a crude moral comment. Overall, he says, it's a shallow tale, but one well and crisply told.
And you know what? fuck, man, I can see his point. That's especially if I had to put my brain back in that era and I'm just heavily biased by whatever religious flaw, that's a valid point. Look, it has the rhythm. It's a toe tapper. But what are we supposed to learn from this? Right? What exactly is the moral of the story?
Great segue. So that more literary-minded commentators usually agree with Gray that this is an excellent piece of vivid narrative. And however it was delivered would be a splendid performance. In terms of the recurrent motifs found in the outlaw myth, this ballad offers an excellent example of the natural setting, which has an implied value, a full statement of the danger of conflict within the band and the consequent dangers of isolation. So that's one theme, right? Argue with your friends, right? If you're not with your friends and you go by yourself, you can get fucked up, right? Being alone is bad. A strongly developed representation of Robin's devotion to Our Lady. So, you know, the fact that he's religious, right? And we get the religious outlaw.
Yeah.
That's a good one, dude. People have, you know, sympathy for that.
Sure. You
know? Like, that's how Robin Hood gets away with killing people and still being a hero.
Yeah, the Moon Knight syndrome. Sure. Out there kicking ass in the I kick ass for the Lord. Horror reference there for you Dead Alive fans, but I could see that
hostility between outlaws and the established church as a motif.
Sure.
A brief statement of the dangers of the town reduced by the loss of material.
Okay. Sure, bit of a stretch, but great.
A mission in disguise, which you see with John and Much.
A good old fashioned, rogue tale. Sure.
Involvement of the king.
In that he just let the villains let himself be duped. Mm-hmm. Great. Yep.
The frustrations of the sheriff.
Sure.
The reforming of the outlaw band.
Sure.
Because at the end, you know, he's like, person.
Which there is, you know, that's the only real moral all actually from a modern perspective give to it is that I really do value that the idea that people who don't want power are usually the best with it, because they don't they know how much of a fucking hassle it is. It's that idea why we romanticize George Washington, because he did not want to be there, and yet he was handed the crown, right?
Yeah.
So, fuck, do I not? I don't want this job. I don't. And yet that's the guy who ends up holding the crown, yeah.
Yeah, and the last part is the establishment of the true values held by the band and their recognition by the king, John's fidelity in particular, when he states, you know, wow, you know, that he wouldn't leave his master for anybody, you know. That's seen as a good thing. Even the king's like, wow.
Sure, so that's game sees game. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are all values to take from it. I will say John really is the main character of this story, because he's the one that has the most complete arc. He was wronged in the first act. In the second act, there's a, well, even though this technically happens in modern writing in the first act, a call to action and a refusal to the call, right? In the Campbellian world of storytelling, that's like a staple. And John does that and then comes through for his homie.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good storyline. So yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, and that concludes our tale of Robin Hood and the Monk.
You know, I will say, and it'll probably change when I get bored of this structure, but currently, I do like getting a full
just a
and end. I like getting a beginning, middle, and end in a podcast. Not to say that Percival wasn't fulfilling. It's just every time I was left with a, well, how the fuck is this gonna go?
Yeah, totally.
Whereas here, it's just, well, that's it.
That's not that. Totally. Yeah. Anything you want to say on our outro, Jan?
I honestly think we hit our perfect outro just then. So I'll say this. Follow us on all the things. If you can find us on the things. If not that, da 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 da. Bop.